He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good day to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. Jay is just back from Europe, so we'll get a little bit of that later on. I have just picked up my mail from being away from the mailbox for a week, and then in it was the latest Car and Driver, which has a very interesting to me and maybe for some of you listeners of who drive large SUVs, I guess. Car and Driver did a 8 comparo tests between, well, 8 of them, and I will go quickly through it. In 8th place, we'll start from the last place and move to the first place. Nissan Pathfinder was one of the 8, and it came in last. And they have a little quickie summary of each of these, and I'll pick the what I want to out of each summary. The Nissan Pathfinder, which is actually quite attractive to me personally, it apparently has its good points of space and comfort from the first to the third rows. These were all cars that are vehicles that would have 3 rows of seating if you wanted needed 3 rows. The lows are things that they complain about on each of the vehicles, or they make negative comments about. This is an interesting one because they had too many to even put any in. They said, where to begin? I don't know what they mean by that. I haven't read the article, so I'm not going any further. The pictures they have of it are very attractive. One of the things I like about the interiors of some of the cars that aren't necessarily U.S. driven, but we'll continue later, is that they have other than black interiors available on some of their lines. Usually it's on the upper level lines of each of the vehicles that they do. The base lines probably have a baseline black interior, but we'll forget about that. They did say the Pathfinder didn't charm us with its driving dynamics. But if use of the third row is paramount, it won't disappoint. In 7th place was a Mazda CX-90. Jay, I think I don't know whether you've ever driven one. I've never driven the big Mazda in my career of driving lots of cars.
Neither have I.
Their highs was the risky, but attractive interior design, simple and straightforward instrumentation. Lows, too much focus on the driver for a family hauler. Skimps on features. That was 7th place. The 6th place was the Volkswagen Atlas. I think the Atlas is a pretty good vehicle in general. I haven't really actually driven one, but it's a very attractive looking one. All these vehicles are actually quite attractive in my visual opinion. They were the premium lines. High, cavernous interior, comfy seats, enthusiasm for make-believe. I have no clue what that means. Lows, rough ride, bland interior, and there's a next generation coming out, so they don't really care about this one. Verdict is too late to make suggestions for the all-new Atlas. 5th place, I guess we're at 5th place, is the Toyota Highlander Platinum Hybrid Max. High, powerful, and efficient hybrid powertrain. I will say that Toyota seems to have their hybrid powertrains pretty well sorted out through most of their lines, if not all of their lines of cars, which all now come with, I believe, a power line of a hybrid treatment, one way or another. They said it had a comfortable, natural driving position. Lows, big second and third row space isn't quite enough. I do not know how you decide when the interior of any vehicle you purchase these days has got quite enough, but not quite enough, or just enough, or too much interior. 4th place, there was a tie. A Honda Pilot was one of the ties. I'm not sure what the other one was. Maybe that was with the Toyota. Highs, with proper family planning, you won't need one forever. I don't know what that means. Lows, engine works very hard to deliver tepid acceleration. that to me means the engine's underrated for or too small to deliver what car and driver feels is a necessary pleasure feeling of acceleration and passing capability. Lows, that was the lows. Verdict, neutrons are essential, whatever they are. But beyond that, it's hard to say anything positive about them. Third place, what is it? Oh, the Ford Explorer, the first American one to show up. The Ford Explorer has changed quite a bit. It went from front-wheel drive and into front and all-wheel drive to rear-wheel drive and into rear and all-wheel drive. The short decision on that was, let's see, highs, powerful and silly. What is silly to tell you, Jay? You can think about answering some of these when I let you in on this.
All right,
Lowe's, the most expensive vehicle here and one of the least comfortable, no matter where you sit. I guess that's a reference to the seats. The seats look very attractive in the Explorer picture that I'm looking at, but if they're not comfortable, so what, right? A 400-pound breath of fresh air that is exactly as impractical as you think it is. Next on it, is the second place is the Hyundai Palisade. We're getting to the second and last ones, and they both happen to be Korean built and from the same company. The Hyundai took second place with a highs in the comfort, luxury, tech, the powertrain, ride and handling, pretty much everything. Lows, highest tested price, Kia Telluride, which is number one coming up, does things just a little better. Verdict, a luxurious three-row that comes up 2 points short of a tie for first. And the first place is Kia Telluride, the prestige level 2.5T hybrid, highs everything that is great about the Hyundai plus more, driver engagement and better fuel economy. Lows, seats are slightly less plush than the Hyundai's. Verdict, you could pay double, and we'll get to that in a second, and still not get a better SUV. Now, I don't know what anybody would think of about a better SUV, but Range Rover comes to mind. Jay, you might be able to add in on that. I'm not sure what other ones we're looking at. Jeep was notably absent. I do not know what vehicle in their lineup would possibly have been able to make it be a nine-vehicle comparison. But there, for you listeners, is this brief on eight people haulers in the SUV line. Jay?
So as you went down this list or up the list, I was waiting to find something that I would actually consider buying if I were in the market for that type of vehicle. And I had to wait till you got to the Ford Explorer, which I think is a pretty good-looking vehicle. I've not driven a very recent one, but I've ridden in the back seat in an Uber, and I found it to be a little plasticky in the finish and also not all that comfortable. But I do think it's a competent vehicle, and there are different models in the lineup that can be appealing. There's a very powerful, I think, turbo V6, and there is also a run-of-the-mill four-cylinder turbo that seems to be like a smart choice. But you know, when you mention the two Hyundai and Kia propositions, there is no competition, and this is just the newer versions of these two models that yes. have just come out in 2026, and I think they may be 2027 models. I'm not sure, but they are brand new. The first generation of these two vehicles were already the two, I think, best offers in these non-luxury large SUVs.
Ultra luxury, you might say, yeah. For the Range Rover, right?
But the Range Rover is not in this list, right? I mean, correct. The Telluride and the Palisade kind of have a Range Rover look, and it looks, you know, there's a resemblance without it being trying to look like. It's hard to explain what the difference is, but They are both good-looking vehicles. They are slightly different. I have not read the article. I don't know what the differences are, but you went over them briefly, the differences between the Palisade and the Telluride. But I think either one is a good choice. I think the big difference now versus the first gen is the engines are also now four-cylinder turbos versus V6s in the past. And
I believe you're correct.
that has been the trend with every single manufacturer out there. I'm not sure about how that engine runs in the Highlander in the Toyota Highlander in the hybrid proposition, because the only vehicle I've driven with the Toyota engine is a Lexus that is not a
Sure.
hybrid. And I've said it before, I'm kind of disappointed in that engine. I've driven the Ford Explorer four-cylinder engine in the Bronco, and I think it performs really well with the 10-speed transmission, but I also know that Ford's had reliability issues with that engine. So who knows? I think the number one and number two choices are absolutely the way to go in that list. Yeah, I think we can move on from there, but
Okay.
those are my conclusions.
I would like to continue a little bit about the latest two new Jeeps that I've read a little bit about, only because I like Jeeps. I own
Could have
three.
fooled us.
I know. The I didn't What I didn't know was I have been down on the new 2027, I'll call it 27, Jeep Cherokee. I think they've taken the Jeep out of the Cherokee. The way I look at Jeep is being looked at by a lot of people who want to buy Jeeps. They've softened it considerably. They lengthened the new Cherokee over the ones I own by 7 or 8 or 9 inches. I can't remember what it is. You cannot tell the Cherokee coming down the road, the new one, the way you can tell the last generation Cherokees from a quarter or a half a mile away, however far you can see, either front or rear. That disappoints me because I like to know. That you have, if you have a vehicle, you can, and you like your vehicle, you can recognize it when other people have it. But to that end, they have a turbo charge engine along with a hybrid drivetrain in the new Cherokee. But they've switched out the 9-speed automatic with selective drive capability transmission for a some kind of CVT version. And one dealer told me it was a throwaway transmission if there was a problem with it. I don't know what that dealer knew that I don't know because I don't know much about it.
I'm
And
not sure that was a great sales pitch,
that
but
was not a great sales pitch.
I
But
think we can move
last
on.
time,
We've covered the new Cherokee. I
yeah,
think
we have
it's
covered it. I'm not
all
trying
right.
to recover it, except that the Turbo 4 in the Cherokee last generation put out 278 horsepower. It was a 2-liter turbo. And I've just discovered that that 2-liter turbo is extinct now, but it has become a 325 horsepower turbo four, same 2-liter, but new technology. And it's now an option engine in the new Grand Cherokee. So that engine, that's where they put the 2-liter turbo instead of keeping it in the new Cherokee. And that's all I'm going to say about Jeep.
Which, by the way, that Grand Cherokee might have been could have been included in the list of those
Yes, so
large
it's interesting
SUVs,
that it
but
wasn't, and I don't know why they didn't. So we won't go any further than that. Jay, what was going on in Europe?
it was very hot.
More cameras, slower driving. That's all I
Yes,
could
we'll
think
get to
of
the
at the
whole
time.
camera thing. A lot of slower driving, no fast driving for sure. Well-behaved driving. Part
Well
of it
behaved,
was,
good.
yeah, unlike driving through New York, I drove through New York over the weekend and got caught up in some pretty messy
Jam.
traffic jams, and it just never ceases to amaze me how just people really do not care. And I'm talking about quote unquote professional drivers. The like of the lower tier rideshare drivers in their little Toyota Camrys and little Nissans and driving on the breakdown lane and passing and cutting. It's just annoying, and it's really refreshing when one of them gets pulled over by a cop who happened to be in the line that they were trying to cut. And that's all I'll say. And so, yeah, Europe was is the changes I see in Europe. Well, that's what I wanted to mention. Jayco, the other one of the other numerous Chinese cars, and Jayco, I saw a few of them in Belgium, and I was like, huh. This is new. I don't really know this brand and I don't really know this car. But then I came back here and over the weekend read an article about Jayco and their SUV that looks a little like a Range Rover Evoque. And it landed in the UK 18 months ago. And I believe it is the best-selling vehicle in the UK right now
Wow.
in 18 months' time. So to think that the Chinese cars are not coming here
They're
is
coming.
they're coming. And so in Europe, I talked with more and more people who one person who drives a pretty compact Mercedes SUV said, my next car, BYD. Just clear answer. No question, no doubt, absolutely convinced, likes the styling. Likes the features, and you. I saw a lot of BYD, sedans. They have a vehicle that looks like a crossover between a Tesla 3 and a Tesla Y, but it looks like it has a more a substantial presence on the road for some reason. Hard to
Yeah.
explain what it is.
Jay, can I
But
jump
back to
in?
the Jayco. Yeah, it's another Chinese brand. And what I wanted to say is that the UK versus the rest of Europe, they also has tariffs. Like Europe has 35% tariffs on Chinese cars, whereas the UK only has a 10% tariff. So the Chinese cars are penetrating the UK faster than they are other European markets. But
Jay. You
yes.
think the European manufacturers have a lot to be very worried about, given what we know about the Chinese cars, automobile situation, and we've been sort of touching on it off and on in past shows. And therefore, that same concern is going to move into North America, including Canada and the US, when it gets creeping, more than creeping, into both our countries here.
Well, what I see, what the European manufacturers have been doing, there's been a change in the trend. Europeans are slowly but surely adopting EVs, unlike what we're doing here. And there was a panic stage amongst European manufacturers in the last few years where they started flip-flopping and abandoning the idea of going fully electric and starting redeveloping ICE cars. But you can definitely see now the trend is going electric, and there are a bunch of European electric cars, compact cars that make a lot of sense. Volkswagen is coming out with what they call, I think, the ID Polo. So ID4 is the car we have here, and then in Europe they have an ID3, which is the size of the Golf. So it's a smaller vehicle. It's a hatchback, and it's well suited to the European market. And now they're coming out with an ID Polo. The Polo was historically not the smallest, but smaller than the Golf, little compact hatch. And the ID Polo is a little fully electric, little car that looks great, does everything it needs to do, and I'm sure it's going to sell well. Are the Chinese going to penetrate the market? Yes. Do they have reasons for concern? Yes. But I think at least they're getting ready for that invasion. I think here we have no idea what we're doing. And I know I'm jumping from one thing to another here, but and we'll get back to small pickup trucks maybe in a minute or two. But I just stumbled upon a quote unquote secret web page of Ford's where they keep you hanging on the development of their to come electric pickup truck.
Oh, good.
And I know we're talking about it. Ford has absolutely no plan to market EVs. The only EV they have, the only EVs they've had is the Mustang
Mach-E.
Mach-E, which is the stupidest marketing thing ever. Then they came out with a Ford Lightning truck, which was actually a pretty good vehicle, but disappointed in sales. So they pull it off the market. And now they're going to come out with a compact pickup truck. They just flip-flopping, have no idea what they're
All over
doing,
the place. Yeah, they
all
do
over the
have to,
place.
they don't seem to have any stay power. I've talked about the American manufacturers not having much patience with something that doesn't automatically bring them a lot of profit right off the start. Harking back to like the 65 Mustang did, you know? And and
I wasn't really
another thing
around for that.
Ford, another thing is Ford is doing is that they're letting go. They're stopping this, the production of the Escape, which is also on the same platform as the Bronco Sport. And the Escape is very different than the Bronco Sport visually and, in my opinion, in comfort and practicality. I happen to think the Escape is a very practical car, and I see lots of them running around here. And I do not know why, I can't remember the reason why they're taking the Escape off the production line. And they're gonna, but they're now, the headline, a recent headline is that they are diverting the Escape fans to the pricier Explorer. You know, if you're an Escape driver, you're not going to think about going up to a pricier car because probably the Escape is a very popularly priced car as well as being popular in its size. The Explorer is not a bit better Escape, in my view. So
They're two different
this
vehicles.
goes to the heart of your discussion about Ford. There's no rhyme or reason what's going on in the marketing department, as far as I can tell. You know, they want to bring out a Lincoln-esque Bronco, probably because Lincoln is dealers are clamoring for it. I don't know what that's sort of like the Toyota Land Cruiser and the Lexus version of it, right? There's an upscale model on all those on those vehicles. Whether that's going to bring a lot of profit for Lincoln dealers if they actually bring it to the market, which it looks like it's heading that way or not, I don't know. But we'll watch that department as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Ford would like to do with Lincoln, or kind of realizes they missed the boat,
With
and to,
Cadillac, yeah.
right, to do what GM did with Cadillac, but
Cadillac
that's.
is off the charts in popularity, as far as I can see. I see Cadillac badges coming at me right and left. I never knew, used to notice them. I've seen Lyriqs on the road. You know, they're not high
Lyrics,
volume.
Vistix, the and I hadn't realized that, but I guess Motor Trend's SUV of the year is the Cadillac
Lyriq, I suppose.
Escalade. What is it
Oh.
called? The IQ Escalade or I Escalade or I whatever.
Okay.
And it's a huge vehicle, but
It is huge.
and it's not energy efficient unless you have a unless you have a solar powered
Charging station.
charging station at home, and some people do, and there is a market for that. But what surprised me most again in Europe versus here is like it is a lot of times very convenient to be driving a smaller car, and large cars, if you're in the city or in small towns, just become cumbersome, and it also you we learn how to parallel park again, which is a an art that has been lost. But now I'm totally going off the charts. Hey, so
Well,
something I
you are.
wanted to talk about. We talked about flock cameras a few weeks ago,
Yes.
and just read an article about deflock. So there is a movement out there about trying to reverse that privacy invasion that the 80,000 flock cameras represent. And among other things, there is a deflock has it's a open source organization, and I just stumbled upon it this morning as we were preparing for the show. But there is a map out there where you can actually zoom in and see where all of those flock cameras are. And good news, bad news, here in the northwest corner, there does not seem to actually be any flock cameras right now.
I
If you
think
go,
they, Jay, I think they, the towns have the right to
yeah, well,
put that
usually
to a vote. And I don't think a lot of the small towns want them any more than I think you or I want them.
Municipalities are the clients, the typical clients for these system, these flock cameras. And if you go towards Hartford, or if you go down towards New Haven and the whole southern part of the state, they are all over the place. Here in our tri-state corner, basically you're looking at one camera in Millerton, and there are a
Where is
bunch.
it?
It is, if I can believe the map, it is as you go out of Millerton down,
South on 22.
yes.
Okay.
And then if you follow the map, as I'm doing right now, down 22, then they're all over the place as you go down 22. So
They're on posts, I
if
think.
you are going back and forth on Route 22 on a regular basis, you've been flocked.
Okay, that's very interesting because I go back and forth,
Oh, you're
several times a
flocked.
week.
You're
I'll
flocked.
be flocked every
Yep.
time. But
Yep.
I want to. I think that in Washington, Connecticut, there's a flock camera apparently, and I think they stand on posts. And I think once you know what to look for, you could spot where they are. I'm not sure they're very big either. Are they not very big, Jay? Do
They're
they?
not very big, but usually if by the time you see them, they've seen you. Once they've scanned your plate, it's too late.
But aren't they also scanning your face as well?
They're
Or are they
scanning
just scanning the
everything.
plate?
Who knows?
Okay, enough of that. You've
Well, you
made your
don't.
point. But I think you're safe if you stay under 10 miles an hour over the
Well, the
posted
flock
speed limit.
cameras don't record your speed. The
That
flock
is
cameras
true.
just re
Okay. They just record you.
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, there are speed, we're starting to see speed cameras in obviously we know that in New York City, in also in work zones, and that is I'm totally fine with that. But I also had a little ding from Google Maps as I was approaching the Whitestone Bridge on at the end of the Hutch. And there seems to be a fixed camera, speed camera there. And I don't know, I have not located it, so I'm not sure whether
They're
that's true or
supposed to
not.
have signs noticing them to you before you actually get to them, aren't they? Isn't that a law? I think there's some kind of
I don't
just
think so, but I don't know. I honestly don't know.
All right. Well,
I don't know.
everybody who's listening, watch out for speed cameras because if they are making inroads, maybe not right around our listening area, but encroaching on the outskirts of our listening area, it might be well for us to pay attention to this kind of comment that you're hearing here on Car Keys.
Are you leaving us?
No, I'm not leaving us. I just wanted to put that little voice in. I thought you'd keep going. Anything else besides what you're learning? Well, you've been talking a lot about the controlled speed at which drivers are paying attention to in Europe. It makes the whole concept of all these high performance cars we read about on our side of the pond and are readily available in Europe too, sort of ludicrous to buy if you're not going to be able to exercise them to the lengths that you used to be able to do on the Autobahn. And can you still do that on the Autobahn, Jay, or is that?
I haven't been to on an Autobahn in Germany in maybe a year or two, but I'm sure there are fewer and fewer sections where you can actually go at unlimited speeds, but there are still a few sections for sure. I'm just a proponent of adaptive speed
Cruise
limits.
control. Yeah.
No,
Oh.
no, no, no. The speed limits varying depending on traffic conditions.
Yes. Okay.
Unfortunately, the way we enforce speed makes it just the opposite of what the goal should be. It's like the more traffic there is, the more difficult it is for police to target speeders. And therefore, if you're going up and down 684 in morning, afternoon, or afternoon commuter traffic, you can pretty much drive at any speed in any which way you want, and there's
Correct.
no repercussions whatsoever. And that, in
Well,
my mind, is just wrong.
you know, and I know where they usually sit when they're on 684. Once you enter 684 from 22, and they're not very creative, in my opinion, which is their problem and not ours, thank goodness. In where they sit, and even when they're out there, to be able to catch these what I call slalom cars that go down 684 at god
Oh,
awful speeds sometimes.
a last little safety thing, because I think we're
Yep.
running out of time. I did flash my lights at a state trooper in New York yesterday who was driving without his lights on, and it was at dusk. And I thought, the heck with it. I'll teach him like I teach everybody else. Put your lights on at dusk.
Yeah, the state troopers don't. They just don't. I don't think the Connecticut state troopers are any better. So with that,
Well, anyway, we can go. Let's not pick on all of them all the time.
it's their problem, but we notice it. Okay. So until next week, when we'll have another edition of Car Keys. We are Car Keys with Jay DeMarkin and Robin Leach.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.